Friend, are you in tune with the symphony of heaven or the sad music of the world? Welcome to the Call to Obedience radio program. I'm Pastor Schulze. This program comes to you every week at this time over this station. Today I want to speak to you about the divine symphony of joy. Jesus said in John 16, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again. And your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So, since the coming of the Holy Spirit, there is a divine symphony that is a gift of God to every crucified saint. When Jesus talked about a joy that no man can take from us, he referred to the Spirit-filled life which could not be had until Pentecost. In all prior years, beginning with fallen Adam, there was a joy in many a soul that could be taken away by man or by circumstance. Friend, have you experienced the joy of Jesus that no man can take away? Can men, friends, enemies, or brothers or sisters in the Lord take away your joy? If so, you don't have the best joy heaven has to offer. Again, Jesus said, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." If you get demoted on your job, do you lose your joy? If you lose a loved one, do you lose your joy? If it rains every day on your vacation, does your joy go on or does it fly out the window? If your spouse loses the only key you have for your rental car and you're going to miss your flight back home, are you going to lose your joy? If your spouse threatens you with divorce, are you going to lose your joy? If the preacher steps on your toes Sunday after Sunday, are you going to lose your joy? If you saved up many years for that special automobile you always wanted, it turns out to be nothing but trouble, are you going to lose your joy? Now, are you still with me? I'm writing about joy that no man can take away from you. Do you have that joy, and do you want it? How much does it take for you to lose your joy? How many setbacks, how many disappointments, how many punches and hits can you handle before your joy runs out the back door of your life? Can your joy be taken away by a single telephone call, or by just one letter, or by just one comment, or by the washing machine breaking down, or by the shingles flying off your roof, or by an unexpected bill? If so, then what's the difference between your joy as a Christian and that of the unbeliever's joy? Jesus said, "And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." Jesus is a joy for us that is indifferent to what man will say and do and to us, and that cannot be quenched by the worst of circumstances. Jesus has a joy for us that is totally heaven connected and totally earth disengaged. One of the tragedies of the average Christian is that his joy is entirely people and circumstance related. Perhaps that is why the world uses the word happiness instead of joy. Happiness depends on happenstance. It depends on what happens. You have the average man come home from work or enter the sanctuary of the church, and you can tell with one look at his face what happenstance he experienced that day. If his countenance is fallen, he has had bad things happen to him. If his countenance is bright, he has been abiding in Christ, and he's kept his eyes upon him. If things went his way, he's in a happy mood. If things went contrary, he's in a cross mood. Don't most church people's moods and mood swings depend a lot on what has been happening? if you would give a $1,000 check to every grumpy, discouraged church members at the end of a church service, they would all light up, wouldn't they? You could tell that the happiness depends on happenings and not on a deep, abiding relationship with the King of Kings. Thank God that once in a while you find saints who are always in joy, I mean always. In every church service, they shine like lights as if nothing negative ever befalls them. Their joy cannot be put out by anything. The same symphony that plays in heaven is extended into the hearts of these rare jewels of God. You can never tell by their countenance that they are in great suffering, that they had a significant financial loss, that they were abused by men, that they don't know how to get their next loaf of bread, or that they have been misunderstood and rejected. Oh, may the ranks of these people grow in our churches, the joy of the Holy Spirit, the joy no man nor circumstance can take away, is what Jesus wants you to have. This is the joy that comes out of a relationship with Him. The mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, the Lily of the Valley, the bright and morning star. It is for this reason that Jesus said to His disciples when they returned from their first mission of healing and casting out devils, He said, "Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not that the spirits are subject to you, but rather because your names are written in heaven." Jesus' message here is, putting it in my words, be more happy about your salvation, about your relationship with me. Be more happy in the fact that you shall be with me forever, that I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be more happy about all this than anything else, because anything else may be of a transient nature. It's here today and gone tomorrow. I don't want you to be up and down, up one day, down the other. Jesus says, let me be the constant uplifting factor of every minute of your life. And if that is the case, you will lift and inspire hundreds and thousands and prove to them the power of this great salvation. Your life will proclaim joy, not related to happenstance, but based on a relationship with me by the fact that you have an inner fountain that will never run dry. You have this joy. And ye now therefore have sorrow, Jesus said, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Listen, any time you take your eyes off Jesus and look at your problem, you lose your joy. If a preacher depends on what he accomplishes rather than on his abiding relationship with Jesus, his joy will go up and down all the time, and much so with the church attendance. And in down times, he has to put up a false front and act like he's up, when in reality, he is miserable, disappointed, and depressed. Question: did Jesus' joy depend upon his success? Did it depend upon the attendance in his meetings? Did it depend upon whether he could do miracles or not? Did it depend upon how many devils he cast out? The kingdom of God is joy in the Holy Spirit. Do you have the Holy Spirit, or does the Holy Spirit leave you when you lose your credit card? The symphony of heaven was always playing in the depths of the soul of Jesus, even when his heart was grieved at the hardness and unbelief of man. Do you have the joy of the Lord? No man taketh from you. Now let me ask you two more questions. One is, what is the nature of this joy? And two, can this joy coexist with other emotions? What is the nature of this joy? The joy of the Lord is not a joy worked up. It is not a joy of reckless enthusiasm, but rather it is a joy of constant, calm repose. Our English word joy, as employed here in John 16 and also in Romans 14, corresponds to the Greek word chara, which means cheerfulness and calm delight. This cheerfulness and calm delight is a gift of God to every obedient heart. It is of the Holy Spirit, and if you have it, it is evidenced by your relationship bringing forth abundance of life. The book of Acts tells us that the early Christians and their leaders had this joy and maintained it, even when they lost their earthly goods and family members in the face of fierce persecutions. Again, this joy has nothing to do with circumstances. It is entirely the outflow of a relationship with Jesus. Now, can this joy coexist with other emotions? Of course it can. We can be joyful and sorrowful at the same time. Just as you can carry water and gasoline in the same can if you like to, you can carry the joy of the Lord and sorrow in the same heart. But as water will always be below gasoline because it is heavier, so the joy of the Lord will always be at the bottom of your heart. Jesus was a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, yet deeper than his grief, he had the joy of heaven. Hence he prayed to the Father just hours before his crucifixion, "And now come I to thee, and these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So, do you see him speak of his joy here when hatred and resentment toward him had peaked? Consider also the moving passage from 2 Corinthians. Notice the many negatives in this passage, and then in the midst of these, the little phrase, "yet always rejoicing." Let me read it to you. Paul says he has labored by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the arm of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, and behold, we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. Jesus said that there is a joy that no man can take from you. The world and the church are waiting for you, my friend, to have this joy, to brighten up every place where you are, in church, at Sunday school, in a board meeting, at work, and in your home and your neighborhood. So there are people waiting for your heart, my friend, to get in tune with this beautiful symphony of heaven. They're waiting for you to show it to them. Do you have this joy? Are you going to get it? And when are you going to get it, my friend? "And ye now therefore have sorrow," Jesus said, "but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you." So yes, there is a joy no man can take away from you. Jesus died. He died on the cross to get it for you. And you have to die to the self-life to get it and to keep it. Father in heaven, we pray that you help us to get every one of these words into our hearts. We're so sore about the glum faces we see in our churches all over the place, and somebody has to kind of prep people up and wind them up and get something going and clapping hands and shouting, and then when it's over because it's all put on and not put in. So we pray that Jesus help people reach for the real thing, for an intimate relationship with you, in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm Pastor Schulze with the Call to Obedience Radio Ministry. Goodbye until next week.